It's good to be together, always. And I miss the last Bowen's Mill convention, one of the first ones I've missed. And by now, we have a clear and significant understanding of the plenitude of God's pouring out and keeping us thus far. And we also know that we happen to be in the greatest love affair of mankind. And it is proven to be, you know, more than just a taffy pull because of the absolute never-ending love of the Father. And his son learned obedience by the things that he suffered. And so I've been a little bit surprised at one prophecy I had years back for a long time at Whitestone. I said, it's going to get worse. And it has. It's just been more difficult because, and I've said this on Zoom a few times, and I don't know if I've said it here, I probably did. What we're called to be is the most arduous task ever placed upon mankind. The most significant, with the most surrounding help. Talk about rivers flowing. Talk about the resounding help that God has given to us. And, you know, this situation is so taxing. What did somebody said? You're not finished. That was in the prophecy tonight, wasn't it? And I've said, oh, I've certainly felt that I was finished a long time ago. You know, time out. And but God gives us the courage. We know it's outside of us. And by now, if we're not saying to him, I can't do this, it's impossible without your help. We've been on Mars or someplace else because we've had that kind of a significant reset in our hearts. And I want to read something by a great man of God, William Law. He said this, when therefore the first spark of desire after God arises in your soul, cherish it. Cherish it with all thy care. Give all thy heart into it. It is nothing less than a touch of the divine lodestone that is to draw thee out of the vanity of time into the riches of eternity. Yeah. And that has certainly been true. Yeah. And our desire was certainly confused in the early stages. And we've had to see that the many times the roadblocks, the hesitations, the sitting down, the giving in was very difficult for us, because this is what we've found out. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? And that's something that God has given us a clearer focus on, too, where our heart has been. You know, I think I was rolling through scripture one day, and the line came, they loved pleasure more than God. And that was one, in boxing, in the solar plexus, a hard place to get hit. But when the Spirit of God hits you and you see that the overpowering weight is this love, the soul and heart, I use them interchangeably, has for itself. Who can know it? And then it says, I, the Lord, try it. Yes, that's true. And give every man according. I try his heart and I try the innermost parts there. And it says, and to give every man according to his ways and according unto the fruit of his doings. Dear God. And we've also seen his greatness give us the capacity to say, God, no more. No more of me. I'm toned out. And then we've seen our getting up and our getting up and our getting up and going. And you know, the great thing about our God is he has waited for us. I'm going to look into that a little bit. You know, John Jeffries said the other day, I counted 10, he might have said it 11 on Zoom. He said, you never walk in vain when you wait upon your God. And that's been true. I want to go to Isaiah 30, and I'm going to jump in the middle of this, and you'll find your way. For thus says the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest shall you be saved. In quietness and in confidence shall your voice have strength. And you know, I was sitting down the other day by myself in our tabernacle. Nobody was there. And I'd walk downstairs and I was hurting. And this confidence, I mean, I've seen the confidence of God. I've seen his help in a way where I absolutely went directly because I knew the wind of his breath, you know, was in my sails. But I sat there and I'm thinking, you know, I told somebody, I've never done old before. And it's you know, when, and it's kind of embarrassing because the little stewardess say, "Honey, can I help you?" I try to be 17 again and say, "What do you have in mind?" Anyway, the circumstance in our relationship. I just said, God, okay, I don't want to get up. I sat down, and I ached all over, and I was there. I got a full face of depression, and you know, and God had said to me the day before, walking downstairs, and the Spirit of the Lord fell, and he said, don't listen to the enemy's script. Don't read his script. Don't repeat his script, and I said, script, yeah, that's true. I've seen his graffiti. And I, you know. Anyway, I sat down and I said, waiting. There's some good stuff. Those who wait, God. And I want to have the confidence. I'm not looking for a miracle. I'm not looking, you know, for the, you know, for you to stand me up and give me, you know. I'm not going to go out and run 109.6. It's over. Those days are behind me. But I just felt, okay, you can do it. And little things mean a lot. when the despair and the heaviness is on us. And we're all in this in a way we've never, ever been before. We come in and used to sing that song. But today it's truer than ever because, you know, in Romans 12 there, I mean, you know, I beseech you by the mercies of God. You know, not only do I beseech you to do that, you offer yourself as a living sacrifice. And I'll guarantee you that we have no idea what God will bring to us on the day that we say that. We also say that to talk about the renewal of our minds. And God is, he's a consuming fire. And that's what he's doing. He's giving us a mind that is absolutely can detect that stuff, the graffiti, the self-love that we've been so engaged with. And seeing that, it becomes very important for us to realize the purpose of the sacrifice, the purpose of the new mind, the purpose really of being proof, walking, living evidence of God. And in the midst of that, he shows us that the absolute clumsy, stupid thing that we can become in the middle of the greatest promise and the greatest surge of his help that has kept us rooted, deeply rooted and grounded in him. The contradiction is overwhelming of where we know we should be and where we've had those days. But he's giving us an understanding of the hell of what it would be without him too, as we walk. And I've had a great confidence with some of my wandering brethren and my grandsons. One of my favorite lines to them was when they say this, or they're into some argument about their own health. I said, "Well, you guys go ahead and go to hell. You'll be back. I'll guarantee you, because God doesn't lose anyone who's been born from above. His roots are deep, and he says it over and over again. I'll love you with an everlasting love. Nothing shall ever separate you from God." Over and over and over we get, "I am betrothed to you." How's that? What? We didn't even know what marriage was or what it was going to be like. Betrothal? No, I couldn't spell it. But he said it. And he will be faithful regardless of the contradiction and the kind of circumstance we can get ourselves in or just go to a dead stop. Because there have been plenty of days when we've felt that way, and we've said it out loud. As a matter of fact, I've enjoyed at times seeing the progress, and I want to say this on your behalf tonight and mine. And you remember, I know you remember some of the difficult times. And how you felt, and I've told our people, talk back to God. The men of God talk back. You know, speak your mind. Tell him how you know. Moses said, "I don't want to go unless you go. And if you don't go with us, how will they know who we are?" And God said a great thing to him in the midst of that circumstance. God knew he picked a man who would talk back, so he could do what he had to do. And people said, "Well, God repented." No, he just knew a man who would absolutely stand in the gap. That's what he knew. And you know, you look at, I mean, I was, one of my favorite stories is when Jonah I mean, four times. One time he tossed himself over, okay? That was a suicide. He thought, I'm going to get out of this. This is it for me. And the Bible says, and God prepared a fish. Isn't that a sweet little sentence? But where the man went, I mean, I can't think of any, I mean, that's incarceration of the cruelest kind. 3 days in a closed, cramped fish with the digestive juices and seaweed all over you. You know, we've all seen the dumb Bible stories where he's sitting there at a table in the middle of the fishy. Sorry, folks, this isn't a taffy pull. It isn't. This is harder than anything you've done. And I've said many times, God, I can't. I can't go over and knock on that door. I can't do it. And then he said, yes, you can. Do it. And I had the impulse. And there comes a time when you do not want to push against his directives. And so you go over and knock on the door. And somebody says, gee, I'm glad you came. The other night, there was a guy at our place who's, he has a little trouble here and there. And he didn't like me, and I didn't like him much. Trying to. I mean, years ago, it was an awful thing to be placed as a shepherd over God's people, and you didn't like people except your people. There's an incongruity. And anyway, I've been praying for him for months, because, I mean, in community, you walk through a room and you see stuff here, there, everywhere, and the clutter, and if God doesn't help you, what was the song we sang? Was it Fall on Me or what was it? Wash over me. My God, you need a shower every day when you're living in closed quarters. It's not a picnic. It does tell you how much you need the Spirit of God, though. Can somebody say, I think I know what you mean? Yeah. It's true. And bless your hearts, this situation was tough, because he's had some tough trouble. I know his life and all. But at any rate, this is very recent. This is why it's significant to me. I was praying for him, and I hoping things were good and didn't look like anything. And I was packing is a hard thing. You get all this stuff and. And I had the speaker turned on outside. I'm upstairs in the tabernacle there. And on the speaker, I heard this voice. And I said, that's Nelson. That's my son. So I went downstairs, and I looked over there. And I didn't go sit in my usual seat. I sat at another table. And it wasn't my son. It was the guy that I'd been praying for. And God said, he's your son. At any rate, these things are so significant in all of our lives, the help God gives us. And it's, you know, a one-liner. It doesn't have to be some, you know, we're not raising the debt. Okay, we might someday. That is meaningless. All the great gifts are to take you down anyway. They're to take you and level you. As David said, he took me out of the lowest hell. And in this circumstance that we find ourselves, it's more than we can handle by ourselves. And by now, we should be knowing it. We should be more forgiving of ourselves, because God wants this crucible He's burning every offensive thing out of us. This wonderful Father who does get rid of the offenses by fire. Back to Isaiah 10. And returning in rest shall be, you shall be saved. And in quietness and in confidence shall be your strength. And then it says, but you wouldn't do it. You didn't trust me. And they, you know, they went on to some stuff. And it comes down to verse 18. And therefore will the Lord wait. Is that great or not? Aren't you thankful that he didn't diss you in the early stages when you really were so high up with your own self-significance and thinking because you were born again and you may have had visions and dreams and circumstances and the exhilaration of his help was overpowering. But it didn't go forward. And so many places are on this charismatic merry-go-round. More information, the glut, the lust, to know more, to have more here. And Jesus said it, you search the scriptures, but you won't come to me. You think you have life in the Bible, but you won't come to me. And we've been those people. We've been the hypocrites. We've been everything out there. And that's an embarrassment because as you look through it, you see that his love isn't the pervasive strength. It's coming to you. It's come to you. It said, it's a settled program. You can't get out of it. It's a lock-in. There's no way. You know, and some of the dumbest things, and I think John Cheever's preached on this several times. The dumbest thing that we do is we think that some arduous, filthy darkness in ourself can overpower the mercy and the goodness of our God who's reached down and called us closer. We were all far gone. Far gone. And yet the Lord, patience. Yes. I mean, another great line. His gentleness has made me great. You sit here tonight, and God has been careful. I wish I could look into your eyes. Some of you are so far away. I can. It's good kind of not to be able to see much, because if you're sleeping, it won't bother me. It used to. But think of it. God's softness, his gentleness with every one of you has made you great. Great how? Because he's married to you. He's not going to let you go. And we said, I've never been in a congregation when there weren't enough people there who just did not believe that the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. There's still people who are arguing against their own salvation, their own mercy. You happen to be great. And in spite of the way you are, regardless of where you've been and done, and even what you've done now or what's holding on to you, because we're not home yet. We're not finished yet, but we felt like maybe we were. But the Lord will wait. Why? That he may be gracious unto you, and therefore will he be exalted, that he may have mercy upon you. For the Lord is a God of judgment. Blessed are all they Say it with me. Blessed are all they that wait for him. And that's been a long time. Many times you've said when. Many times. I've traveled the world for about 50 years now. And airplanes go when the mechanics say you can go. And sometimes you sit up there and wait and wait and wait. And, you know, somebody was griping one time, when are we ever going to get this thing off the ground? I said, hush, we don't want it off the ground until it can fly. I'm the kind of guy that I can't sleep on a plane because I know the pilots need me. And let's go over to Romans 5. I'm going to be out of here real quick. He said one time. All right. Romans 5. I can't see the place there, but it starts there. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. And that's great. I think I've said this once before, but I was in Korea with Archer Torrey, and I was in his office, and he was such a gracious, wonderful man, unbelievable, asking a green beanie like me what I thought. And it's the first time I'd been to where he was, and he said, Bill, there's really something I don't think we've found in this word peace. Shalom. And then he went on a kind of a list of so far what he had. How do you see it, Bill? And I say, what you said there is real good. And God love him. He had a beautiful wife. And we were riding a train once, and he was running along with us, hopping on. And he came to Whitestone once. And his eschatology was scrambled eggs with bacon. I mean, he didn't know. But the man had a wonderful heart. And this is what God is working on. And, you know, let's take another look at Job, at when he was really his worst. I mean, remember how he talked to God, you know, and down there in Job 7. Am I a whale or the sea? Leave me alone. He said it a couple of times. Leave me alone. I don't want to live forever. Why is it that you set your heart on man? Aren't you glad that God has set his heart on you? Job didn't like it. In the process, it was painful. He said, it's hard on me. Get your heart somewhere else, God. That's where Job was. And be careful with you. Be careful with your heart as you go along. And there have been times I haven't been so careful. I said what I pleased. I remember walking around, and I don't know if I confess it at home, David. David unloaded my stuff last night like Superman. I couldn't believe it had been flown all the way from Singapore, you know, and got a few hours sleep, picked Betty and me up, and he came in and hauled. I mean, you guys wanted to see if you can weight lift? Just lift my wife's luggage sometimes, you know. I just take a couple of things. But now, anyway, he was there. But did I ever confess that I got up every morning? I mean, it had to be weeks. And I said, God, do you care? God, do you care? I mean, is that idiotic or not? You know, I'm going after Job because I don't want to live forever. I've never said that. But I had no idea that what I could say, and neither have you in your own thoughts. So, but it has a happy ending. Because you know what he said in 23? He said, oh, Oh, if I knew where I could find him. But he's on my right, I can't find him on my right or left. And he really got pretty affectionate. He said, when I come out of this, I'm going to be gold. Yeah. And he also said a clarion call that every one of us should have it tattooed on the frontals of our thinking. And that is, what he has appointed, say it, what he has appointed, he will perform. And he delays on that at times. He waits. But it's good, because we learn that we have to wait too. We have 142 people at our place. There's a little guy that's that high. One of the reasons I'd like to live, you know, I'm fighting to live a little longer. And then I say, well, you know. But we have a little guy, and he's not two yet, is he? Or what?
Just turned two.
Just turned two. And that little guy, I say, do you have anything to say? And he says, yes, across the room. And I mean, that was before he was two. And I've got this big blue ball, and I had a little ball that I ran on. And I said, little man, see the ball? And I squeeze the ball. He says, the ball, yeah. Yeah, his dad, he's really inactive. It's Sam Wolfhook's son. And this little guy, I said, you want us to go get the ball? And so help me. He runs up our stairs. I think there are 22 of them. And he goes up there, and I think, my goodness, that energy moving, that wonderful little guy, what he is going to be. And when you see that, see the children growing, see parents, you know, that are learning to be parents. I was in the booth the other day, and I had the dark, our little phone booth, turn the lights off. And one of our fathers was dishing it out to his little man. And I was listening. And the kid is coming to that stage where he thinks that his dad needs a counsel here and there. And the dad doesn't go for that. But it's wonderful when you see the great growth of God's people, because that is what it's all about. That's why these things are taking place. And you know what else Job said? And I want you to take this home with you. I'm not finished yet, but or not that close. I got a couple of things to say. But he said, I'm afraid of God. That was there at the end of all these wonderful things that he said, I'm afraid of God. He makes my heart soft. He does. And every one of you in here have had soft hearts. You have. Some of you were so soft, and maybe the early stages, you could cry over card tricks or weather changes, you know, really easily turned. But that's what God wants. He wants a sustained, obedient heart. And he's getting it more and more. Can some of you say amen to that?
Amen.
That you want what he wants. Well, Psalm 5 said, my father cried over a lot of anything, a lot of nothings, but he also reached across the table to slap my mom. And so somewhere this sustainable soft heart, and over, I've had a soft heart many times. I had a soft heart for me when I broke my leg. I had a soft heart, you know, when I lost a couple of street fights, and I thought my nose was never gonna looked the same. And I couldn't see out of eyes for a while. And a guy reached down and helped me up, and he said, "Boy, I've never seen such guts." Yeah, they're all over there on the floor where I left them. And we've been broken. Sometimes we've cried for unknown reasons, or maybe just the beauty of a sunset has touched us. But God wants the continual. And we're not there yet. If you're there, make sure you come up and touch me. Bless me. Just hold my hand. Because the fire of God's help is available to us. It's there if we want it. And Sister Betty and I are on this thing. I mean, it's funny, you know, I've been married 70 years, and I've noticed this about some of the biggest liars are married, you know. And I told this story years ago, but I was at a party once, and Betty and I were probably, I mean, we were north and south, and it was a Christian group there, big adobe home. The guy had an airplane outside, and four of the guys that were paying for me to work with youth and young life work. And we were kind of hell on wheels then with each other. And we had to go there. And these guys weren't really that good of support, but they were all good. Some of them were close friends. And this guy was talking about marriage, and he said, "Well, you know, my wife and I have never really had a serious argument." And I said, "Well, in literature, they call that a dull plot." And Betty kicked me under the table at the time. She's been known to be a little ferocious. I said, "Why did you kick me under the table?" And it's amazing the still quietness. It was like a mortuary for about 20 minutes there until we got out of this. But you know, God has given you the capacity and the tentacles to catch his waves and to know. I mean, there are times when you walk in a room and you don't like it, or you don't like the circumstance or the tackiness of it, and you stop right there in your mind and say, "God, I don't want that. I don't want that script. I don't want any part of it." And he's good enough to help you with it. Where were we? I thought I was, well, let's go to, did I get to Romans 5? No, I didn't. "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace." Yeah, I got that far, part of it. "Through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access." Now, this is something that we absolutely need to settle in and say, "God, I have a way in. Let me, please remind me to use the access." There are places I couldn't go. I remember I followed Richard Nixon all of circumventing around a major place because I was on the, I did some entertainment. It was good to follow and listen to what he would say to people. He was very good. I was amazed at him, at how it was. I just had access. And when you can't get access, you want it. I hate a locked door, you know. And sometimes you have to live with a locked door. And I've seen myself wanting to absolutely tear the door open. But you have access to your Maker. He knows every fiber, every thought, every drop that you've done, every circumstance, what your favorite heartful thing is, the memories. And talk to him and take access. It says, "By whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And not only so, yeah, we read some of this about the, but we glory in tribulations. Got to say, working on that one, working on it. And there are times, I want to thank you, God, for this. That's the tone. Also knowing that tribulation works hupomeno, staying under. And that staying under and works experience. I've done this rodeo before. I know what it's like. I've fallen off the horse. I've been gored. I've been through this circumstance. And when you have that, it helps you with the acceleration of not quitting. You say, this is terrible, but you go on. And then it says, you're hopeful because you waited and it worked. I mean, it's a little thing. It's a little thing for me to go downstairs. It doesn't mean anything to you that, you know, I prayed for several weeks and the Lord said to me, this is your son. I mean, come on. This merry-go-round that we're on is as boring as hell if we're not getting up and going forward. It's not worth the time. Do something else if you're not all in. Whatever's in your system, go get it, go find it. But the truth of the matter is, the adventure, the joy, the breakout comes when God whispers to you, and you've been weeks on a circumstance, and you know, it's magnificent. You know, I mean, it doesn't take much in this test, but it's a vibrant test. It's conclusive, and you're not just anyone. And Jesus said, "Take my yoke," and his yoke was with the Father, and he never lost it. And you are called to take that yoke and walk as a son maturing. All right, I'm going to go to one of my favorite spots. I've been there before. I'm glad nobody from Whitestone's here, because I've probably preached this three times in the 43 years we've been up there. And we're in Isaiah 66, it starts in verse 9, if I'm reading that carefully, and that's a jump, a gamble. Isaiah 66, God is speaking, and he says some things, and I laugh at this because I did this overseas once with Buddy Cobb, and he said, he didn't like the word breast. And I said, well, what do you want me to say, teats? Or tits, what am I to say, buddy? And, you know, I love the man. He was a great guy. And he was, he did preach a lot of Jeopardy, but he was nevertheless a great man of God. And he, for some reason, he took a liking to me. And I never understood that because we're north and south. But we were going through one time, I said, buddy, because he was saying you need to hear from God before you make any major decisions. And he bought a really expensive camera. And I said, did God tell you to do that, buddy? And he said, he didn't say not to. Anyway. Anyway, this is about El Shaddai. Shall I bring to birth and not cause to bring forth, saith the Lord. Shall I cause to bring forth and shut the womb, saith thy God. Rejoice ye with Jerusalem, and be glad with her, all you that love her. Rejoice for joy with her, all ye that mourn for her, that you may suck and be satisfied with the breasts of her consolations, that ye may milk out and be delighted with the abundance of the glory. For thus saith the Lord, behold, I will extend peace to her like a river, the glory of the Gentiles like a flowing stream. Then shall ye suck. Ye shall be borne upon her sides and be dandled upon her knees as one whom his mother comforted. So will I comfort you, and you shall be comforted in Jerusalem. My mother was one of the most, such a giant heart. Bless her, I'm really longing to see her, because my affection and my inclinations was for my dad, who was really had some serious trouble, like a kind of Italian Don. But my mother, and we didn't go to church. I never, we didn't have a Bible in our home unless my mom had one. But I remember her rocking me, and she sang, "Love lifted me, love lifted me, when nothing else could help, love lifted me." And the last verse, I was, if you know the thing, and I miss it because I didn't recall it all, but I remember rocking. I couldn't have been very old, at the time. And we would go back and forth, and she'd say, "Love lifted me." I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore.
Very deeply stained within.
Stained within. Sinking deep. What? Okay, I'm a slow learner on that stuff. Anyway, the point is, then I heard his encouraging cry. Was it, or what is it? The music man missed one. Hey, okay, I'll put a check and remember that. But anyway, even today, I said, we're going to sing that at home. But, she prayed for me. She knew I was a mess. She was the easiest person to con. Where are you going tonight, Billy? I'm going over to Danny's. I need a couple potatoes because we're gonna camp out there in the backyard. I wasn't going over to Danny's, but I can still hear her songs. And God says, He's carried you. He's carried you. Before you knew anything about caring, you were deep into the Lord before you had a clue. But there was that call that turned you here and questioned you there. Now I lay me down to sleep, maybe you knew part of it, but you belong to the living God. And I want to read something else to mess with your heads a little bit, because our responsibility is to not just keep doing the status quo. The type and shadows are behind us. The offering and the giving ourselves to God is before us. And I'll read this. You don't need to say much or look at it. A good name is better than precious ointment, and the day of death than the day of one's birth. Hallelujah. It is better to go to the house of mourning than go to the house of feasting. For the end of all men is there, and the living will lay it to his heart. We're encircled with death today, I didn't give it much thought, and even in my 70s, I thought, I'm doing Superman. But folks, We have, look at this death as it says there in Hebrews 2. Look at it this way. All your life subject to bondage because you were afraid of death. And I've certainly been there. I've had times when in the middle of a boxing match, I was just about to keel over because my breath was gone. It's an awful thing. But your God holds every creature and their breath by his command. And so let us not be fearful to wait on him and to wait on him and to know that change and that solid heart that he's working on. For the end of all men and the living will lay it to heart, it says. Sorrow is better than laughter, for by the sadness of the countenance, the heart is made better. That can come in waiting as we wait before him. Because I've had that soft heart, and then I didn't. And I've had it, and I've had it, and so have you. And God wants a heart change. Yeah. That's why we're here. We're not here for, you know, just to be filled with more little similes, little ideas, little something we can write down in our manuals. We're here to leave and say, God, I want to be completely in this thing, and I must have your heart in these matters. The wave and the lunacy of our country now, she's cut in half. And the absolute, there is the wars already started in a whole line of complexity. And we must muster the kind of heart, and we can't do it. It's an impossible task for me to look into the face of tomorrow and have any idea what's going to be. It is totally against the natural mind to conceive that our God could be bringing us to the high point of his person. But he is. And you belong. You were called to it. And you will fulfill it by his grace and his mercy. Thank you, Father. Thank you for being with us tonight. Thank you for all that are here. And the room will be filled in a few days. Let's see if we can touch Everest with the praise when it comes. Amen.